time thanks to the Lord and the word of opening prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us.
Today already, we ask, O God, for a very real sense of thy presence just now. Come amongst us, pour out your Spirit upon us, we pray. In the Saviour's name we ask. Amen. Amen. Can I just at this stage bid you all a very warm, sincere word of welcome? Glad to see you this evening. And to those who are visiting with us as well, we welcome you in the Saviour's name. Thank you for being with us. Just a few announcements at this stage before I hand over to Paul to lead the rest of the meeting. Do remember tomorrow morning, if you can help, for the outreach at 9:30, tomorrow morning meeting here at the church for the outreach tomorrow morning. Then on Tuesday, Explorers Bible Club at 6:30 for our boys and girls, and then our Bible study prayer meeting at 8 o'clock on Tuesday night as well. Also, I should have said, tomorrow night, 6:30, there's a meeting of our media team. Then Thursday night at 7, a meeting of our church committee. Friday night, 8 o'clock, that is our youth Christmas party meeting here in the church. So please remember that. Young people will come appropriately attired for that Christmas party on Friday night. Then our Sunday school party, both here and in Redburn, is on Saturday from 11 to 1 here in the church. Next Lord's Day, 10:15, is our morning worship, or our Sunday school and Bible class, followed then by our morning worship service at 11:30, and we'll have the Lord's table after the service next Sunday morning. Sunday school over in Redburn at 2:30 in the afternoon. And then we have our second of our Christmas services next Sunday evening, our family and friends Christmas service. Sister Judith Beatty will be here to sing. Mark Williamson will be here to play for us. And then one of our students, our brother Mr. Johnny Eccles, will be along to testify next Sunday night. And there'll be supper for everyone after the meeting. Free will offering envelopes are available tonight, so if you haven't seen Kyle, then please do get yours. And if you'd like to get a copy for next year, again, please speak to Kyle and he'll be able to sort you out with that. We have on Tuesday, the 12th of December, our Missionary Council report from our Missionary Council representatives. And then on Tuesday, the 19th of December, we have our brother Pastor Victor Maxwell coming to speak and to do a presentation on the life of the late Dr. Bill Woods. Remember, the calendar is still available. If you haven't got yours to give out to your friends or family or your neighbours, take those with you, please, and get them out as far and wide as you can. LDBS magazine is still available. Also, the Missionary Council prayer calendar is also available, so please avail yourself of these. And if you haven't got any of these as yet, please take what you need tonight, because by the time you come back looking for them tomorrow, they could well be gone. So please take what you can of these cards, inviting people along to our Christmas services, and let's see what we can do to get the unsaved in. So we're glad to see you tonight. We welcome you warmly in the Saviour's name. The stage I'm going to hand over to our brother Paul to lead the meeting. I want to welcome Joy and David back to Sandown. Glad to have you both with us tonight. Also to Aaron and to Andrew, thank you as well for coming. I appreciate your help this evening. Pray the Lord will bless you as you take part in the meeting. Thank you.
Let's commence our service tonight with the singing of the hymn, hymn number 76, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. As Reverend Wilson has said, this is the commencement of our Christmas praise services. So let's really lift our hearts as we sing together. Standing after we get the introduction, hymn number 76, please.
Mercy, man, God, and Savior.
word of prayer, please. Each one of us just stilling our own hearts as we draw into the Lord's presence. Our gracious God and our eternal Father, how we thank thee that we can draw aside into thy most holy presence in our Saviour's blessed name. We thank thee for thy dear Son, the one who left the splendors of heaven and came into this world. We thank thee this night that our hearts cry out that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We thank thee, our Father, for thy dear Son. And as we approach unto thee, our Father, we do so in his blessed name. We thank thee that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Father, each one tonight, as they sit in this meeting and have known that the Lord has come to their hearts, we bless thee that he came to die for us. We thank thee that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And Father, we thank thee for the revelation of thy dear Son in the precious word of the living God. And the fullness of time was come. God sent forth his Son into this world. And our Father, we would ask of thee that thy presence would really be known in our midst tonight. Grant, O God, that the Spirit of God would be here, working upon hearts, convicting and convincing of sin, and calling precious, precious souls unto himself. We would ask, Lord, for every aspect of this meeting tonight, that thou will draw very near to each of thy servants, those who would come to bring that wonderful message of the gospel in song, bless their hearts. And Lord, bless through them and bless our own hearts as we listen on. And we pray especially for the word of God tonight. We ask our Father that thou wilt fill thy dear child with the power of God, the Holy Spirit, as he seeks to make Christ known in the gospel. And grant, O God, that the words that will be spoken tonight will enter into the hearts of dear sinners, calling them to faith and repentance unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for thy presence already today. We rejoice, dear Father, for thy dear servants, David and Rachel and their children that were with us this morning, how our hearts were so blessed to see and hear of the Lord's leading in their lives. And we continue to remember them, that thou wilt bless every step of their pathway, and grant, O God, that they'll know that the Lord is leading in every way. Bless their families too. Undertake for them and draw especially near. But Lord, for this hour, we pray that thy presence would really be known in our midst. Challenge all of our hearts tonight as we listen on to the songs, as we sit under thy word. May, Father, our hearts be really moved within us as we hear the good things of God. And so continue with us and bless our souls this night. We pray for our Savior's sake. Amen. Remember, so glad to welcome back again our sister Joy. And we're going to ask Joy to bring her first messages in song, please. Thank you, Joy.
The piece that I'm going to start with, and Brother Paul said when I was sound checking that some of you are going to be singing this. Well, wee word of advice, don't listen to this version because it's probably not the way you'll be expected to sing it. This is the track I was given, and this is the way I sing it, so it probably isn't even right. But anyway, the words of it are wonderful words. Sweet baby Jesus, Lord of creation, giver of life, God's holy lamb. And the most important part of it is that he has come to redeem us. He has come to redeem us. And that's why we celebrate this time of year. And that's why we put so much emphasis on just praising the Lord and celebrating that he came so that we could be saved.
Sweet baby Jesus, in the the gift of his own.
Saying, yet there is room, there is room at my
to thank Joy so much for ministering in song. Tonight we'll hear from Joy a little later on. As she remarked about that first piece, I'm looking around our music group and we may not sing that now after hearing Joy sing it. Thank you so much. We're again glad to have Andrea and Aaron with us again tonight. They're no strangers to us here in Sandown, and we're looking forward to hear what they have to bring to us tonight in song. Lord bless you, boys.
Thank our brother, Reverend Wilson, for invitation here and the warm words of welcome. And we're going to commence our ministry and song with bring us to the cross. Not sure there's been problems here, but hopefully you can hear me. This song is one of my favourites, and it the cross has become a symbol of the world. Really, you know, and people the ungodly have taken that, but. Get here to this.
There was a cross made.
I think we'll maybe
Again, can we thank our brethren for ministering in song? These things are sent to try us, but don't worry. Those were tremendous pieces, and thank God for the cross. It's all about the cross, you know. And if you're not saved, you need to get to the cross, and you need to come and trust Christ as your own and personal Savior. We're going to join together to sing now our next hymn. It's the hymn Down From His Glory. The words will be on screen, and we'll stand after we get the introductions. And let's continue to lift our hearts in praise unto the Lord and really sing. Our singing's tremendous, as it always is, but tremendous today and tonight. And let's continue that good singing. We'll stand after we get the introduction, please. Again, please, and bring their final message and song, please. Thank you, folks. Again, we'd like to thank our brethren for their ministry and song and our service tonight. The Lord bless you for your ministry and for your help. We'll ask our sister Joy to come and bring her final message, and after sister Joy sings, our own minister will come to preach the word, read the scriptures, and then preach in the gospel. Thank you, Joy.
And you'll know the tune. The words have been rewritten by a gentleman from the little seaside town of Whitehead, Christian man. And they just take us through the life of Jesus from Bethlehem and why that he came. Why that he came? Well, it was about the cross. The guys have said it all there in what they were just singing. I want you to listen to the words and walk with me through the story of Jesus' life.
Thank you.
And as the fellows were singing, it's all about the cross. That's why he came. Not that we would have a time to fill our bellies, a time for our families, time off. Christ came to die. Christ came to secure salvation for us. I want to think about that tonight as we bring our meeting to a conclusion. And again, want to thank Joy and Andrew and Aaron. Appreciate your help tonight. We really do. Thank you. May the Lord continue to bless you. We're turning to the book of Luke this evening, Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. We're going to read just a few verses together as we have Luke's account here of the birth of Christ. And I want us to think this evening about the first Christmas carol. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. We're going to read from verse 10. And I want you in your mind's eye to picture the scene, because this is something that has never been witnessed before. This is something that has never been heard before. The heavens are ablaze with the glory of God. The earth resounds with the sound of the angels singing. Christ had come. What a sight. What a sound. And as we read these verses, I want us just to picture that scene. That night outside the hill on the hills of Bethlehem to these shepherds. Verse 10, Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, in the verse 10, there we read, "And the angel said unto them," that is, unto the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Seek God's face. Eternal God and our Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us already tonight. We thank thee, O God, for these messages and song. Lord, what a blessing they've been to us. We thank the Lord tonight that as we come to celebrate and remember Christ coming into the world, we realize, O God, that he came to die. He came, Lord, to save us from sin. He came to give himself a sacrifice for our sin. And Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight you'll bring someone the way of the cross this evening. Bring them, O God, to that place where the Lord still forgives sin. O God, we pray that even tonight you'd be pleased to see if someone in this meeting tonight. Hear and answer prayer. Be with us just now. In the Saviour's name we ask. Amen. So as we commence these special Christmas services over the month of December, I want us to be brought right back to the very first Christmas message, to the very first Christmas time of praise, and indeed to the very first Christmas carol. Because that night on the hills surrounding Bethlehem, as the shepherds looked over their sheep as they did every night, caring for them, tending to them, protecting them, looking after them, they were about to see something they had never seen before. And they were about to hear something they had never heard before. The Savior of the world had come. The Savior of sinners had been born. The long promised, the long prophesied Redeemer, the one who was spoken of, the one who was seen throughout all the ceremonies and the rituals of the Old Testament, had now been born. And as such, the shepherds that night, they witnessed a glorious sight, but they heard an even greater message. And in the words of verse 14 particularly, I want us to consider this evening this first Christmas carol, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I want us to see, first of all, here there is the prelude to this carol. You see, before the heavenly host joined together with what must have been a glorious anthem that night, a wonderful sign that culminated in the words of verse 14. I want us to see what came before. I want us to see the prelude, the introduction to this carol. As we see this introduction, I want you to see that there was a guest. Because in verse number 10 we read, "And the angel said unto the Lord." A single angel appears to these shepherds. Lo, the angel, verse 9 says, of the Lord came upon them. You will know, of course, that a number of angels are involved in the birth of Christ. How the angel came to tell Mary and then Joseph that they would be parents to the Savior. How that this single angel comes now to these shepherds, and then in a very short space of time, the heavenly host of angels, they come, they gather together. But this single angel comes. But notice to whom they come. Notice to whom this shepherd comes and bees guest with. Or these angels come to be guest with. It's the shepherds. Who, as verse 8 tells us, were abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock. You see, in that there is a tremendous indication of the nature of the birth of Christ. There is a tremendous indication of why Christ came. He came to shepherds. He came to those who were nobodies. He came to those who were outcasts of society. And this angel came to these insignificant men on the hills of Bethlehem and told them of the birth of Christ. Bethlehem, as you know, was busy. Bethlehem, as you know, was packed. They were all coming and congregating in Bethlehem. They were coming to be taxed. The census was taking place at that time. But the Savior chose to announce his birth to insignificant, to lowly men. Seen as outcasts of society, seen as unfit to worship, defiled and rejected. However, they were chosen by Almighty God to hear this first birth announcement. How very appropriate. That the very men who would raise the lambs that would be offered in the temple worship were the first to hear about the Lamb of God who had come. What a truth tonight that Jesus came, but what a truth tonight to whom he comes. He didn't come to the mighty. He didn't come to the great. He didn't come to the powerful. He came to the insignificant. In humility, he came to tell them of his birth, to tell them that the Savior had come, the Savior had been born. And this angel comes with this very specific message directed by the triune God to an insignificant group of people. What an indication that is of the whole ministry of Christ. Because whenever you trace the ministry of Christ, the gospel narratives, how often you will find Christ came to the outcast of society. Christ came and spoke to those that nobody else would speak to. The woman at Samaria was an outcast because of the way she lived. And yet Christ drew near to her, spoke to her. The tax collectors, the murderers, the adulterers, he didn't come to condone their sin, but he showed that through his life and through his death there was pardon from sin. There was this guest here in this prelude, the single angel that came to tell of the Savior's birth. Not only do we see a guest here in this prelude, but we also see the glory in this prelude, because in verse number 9, we read, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Can you picture the scene? Here they were, rough shepherds, just tending to their flock. And all of a sudden, this bright light, this shining light is all around them. What was it? It was the glory of God. The great glory of God that lit up the darkened sky that night. That glory that proclaimed that the one who was born in a stable was indeed God. He was not just another baby boy. He was not just another child that was born that night. the glory that associated the birth of Christ showed that this was a royal birth. The glory of God that lit up the sky, the glory of God which shone around about the angel and the shepherds that night, showed that this one who was born, whose birth was being announced, was a man, but more than that, he was the God-man. The one who came in human flesh, the one who came from the heights of glory, the one who came to save, the one who came to redeem, the one who came to reconcile sinners to God. His birth was most unique because never was a child born like this child. Not just another child. Not just another one who would grow up to be another man. This was the God-man. This was the man who came to reconcile God and man. That blessed nature of Christ is seen there in the glory that shone round about, the glory of God, because the one that was born in Bethlehem's manger was God. And the only one tonight who can save you from your sin is God. The only one tonight who can pardon you from your sin and make you right before God is God, the God-man in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, as he lived his life, his glory would be veiled. Many wouldn't see it. It would go unnoticed, yet he was still the King of glory. The glory and guest in this prelude, but notice the greeting. Because in verse 10 through to verse 11, we have the greeting, the words that this angel brought before this song, before this carol was sung by all the angels, there was a message. It was a message of gladness, fear not. We read in verse 9 that they were sort of afraid. But the message came, fear not. A message of gladness, a message of greatness. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And a message of gentleness, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Savior. Which is Christ the Lord. The lowly Jesus born in such shame and such humility, born to be rejected, born to be despised, born to live a life that would glorify his Father by obeying the Father's law in every part, born to die, born for sinners, born that we might be saved. What a greeting this angel brought. What a message was brought before this carol was sung. What a prelude. What an opening to this first Christmas carol. The angel came with this greeting. A Savior is born. And tonight we can rejoice. Tonight we can thank God in this meeting because our Savior has come. The one promised long, the one long foretold has come. Come in human flesh in order to save us from our sin. Not only is there the prelude to this carol, but let's come into the carol itself and notice the praise in this carol, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest. Like this carol, like every other hymn of praise, should be to bring glory to God. That's what they were doing in verse 13. The heavenly hosts, what were they doing? They were praising God. Why are we here tonight? We're here to praise God that in the fullness of time, he sent his Son into this world to be our Savior. We're directing our praise tonight, not to ourselves and not to our church. We're directing our praise to God. That must always, of course, be the desire of our hearts. To sing with joy, to sing with such a truth so as to bring glory to God. Because now this single angel is joined by a great multitude, as verse 13 tells us, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. This angelic choir, this angel band, they're singing, they're praising God. Why? Because they have something to sing about. They were declaring, they were proclaiming the message of Christ's birth, and what a message it was. You know, sometimes we don't sing loudly enough. Sometimes we don't sing well enough. Oh, we don't want to be accused of getting carried away. And so we'll just sing with big long faces just in case. What gladness these angels brought. What joy filled their heart as these shepherds here heard the reason now for this great sight. Their fear was gone, and they were filled with joy. They were bringing glory to God. And surely in our praise tonight, He is worthy of all of our praise. He is worthy of all that we should offer to Him in praise and adoration. And surely this Christmas carol shows that how He is most praised. How is He most praised? He is most praised and He is most honored when we tell the message of Christ's coming. All the grace, all the mercy, all the love, all the tenderness, all the love of God. Christ came in human flesh. The one who took upon Himself the form of a man, the one who humbled Himself to become man. We've really looked a little at the glory that was associated with this carol. And following on from that glory, now there is this praise. Because you see, whenever God's glory is seen, God's name is praised. And one angel wasn't enough to praise Him. It took the adoring angelic host of heaven to declare and to honor the Lord. Hymn writer said, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise." It took the heavenly choir, this army of angels, to praise and to honor God. But let me take this praise just a little further here. Why was there such a volume that night? Why was there such a sound that night? Why was there such a crescendo of praise on the hills of Bethlehem that night? Very simply for this one reason. Because that night, the angels declared to the shepherds the message of salvation, of redemption through Christ alone. And folks, it's that message that still glorifies God. It's that message of redemption through Christ alone that still brings glory to God. Why do we preach the gospel? Yes, to see the lost saved. But through the preaching of the gospel, through the declaring to men and women that Christ has come not just to be born, but Christ came to die, His name is glorified. You think about it. Why did He come? Who did He come to? Wretched sinners like we. Surely as we think about the message of Christ's coming, that He came to save a sinner like me, do we not see the love of God? We who were enemies of God, we who were despisers of God, yet God in mercy provided a way that sinful man can be redeemed. You see, that message, that simple, plain message of salvation by faith alone, in Christ alone, is a truth that brings glory to God. May we never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And may we ever declare the gospel of Christ. Surely that should motivate us to go forth and to go forward, to preach up Christ, to tell sinners of Christ. Because in so doing, yes, we're telling men and women of the greatest story ever told, but in so doing, we're bringing glory and praise to God. In this meeting tonight, if you're unsaved, and you know nothing of God's salvation tonight, your life can be transformed. Tonight, your life can be turned around. Your life tonight can be that life that brings glory and honor to God. If you were to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, your life tonight has no point. Your life tonight has no meaning. Your life tonight has no purpose. You're wandering. You do not know where you're going. Tonight, Jesus Christ has come into this world to give you life, abundant life. And through a life that is changed and a life that is transformed, glory to God is given. We see the prelude and the praise. But in verse 14 as well, we see the place. Glory to God in the highest and on earth. And on earth. Oh, the angels have been singing praises to God in heaven for all eternity. That was their usual practice. That was their habitual work, to praise God in heaven. But now, on earth, they praise God. On this earth, on this world that is ravaged and ruined by sin, on this earth that is marred by the fall, in this earth that is filled with tears and troubles and struggles and warfare, all as a result of our fall into sin, there was no peace on earth because sin had brought chaos into this world. But the angels that night brought a message to this earth, a message of peace. Not of peace between man and man, or between nation and nation, but a message of peace between God and man. Mr. Spurgeon, writing on this particular portion, he said, there had been no peace on earth since Adam fell, but now, when the newborn king made his appearance, the swaddling band with which was wrapped up the white flag of peace. He said, that manger was the place where the treaty of peace was signed in Calvary. It was where it was sealed. Peace on earth. Peace between a holy God and sinful man. Tonight in this meeting, you can know peace on earth. Your life is perhaps troubled, and you have no peace. You're anxious, you're worried. You have concerns. Thank God tonight, through Jesus Christ, your life can know peace on earth. Upon an earth, in a world wrecked with troubles and wars, Christ comes. Christ comes to bring peace. And the joy of the message of the gospel is that tonight Christ can bring peace into this place, into your heart. Finally, there is the pardon in this first Christmas carol. Look at the end of verse 14. It says, goodwill toward men. This song, this carol speaks of and points to the goodwill of God toward the sinner. What's goodwill? Well, you look up any concordance, and you'll find that it just simply means God's good pleasure. God's good pleasure was shown, God's favor was shown towards men in that he sent his son. But why? Verse number 11 tells us, in order to be our Savior. You see, in that manger, the goodwill, the pleasure of God is seen, because in that manger lay the personification of the goodwill of God to a people lost in sin. Lay in that manger was the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ came to be born in Bethlehem, to go to Calvary. We say again, he came. He was born to die. Where do we see the goodwill of God? Where do we see the good pleasure of God towards a broken, fallen, sinful world? It's the fact that he sent a Savior. He sent his Son. He didn't send an angel. He sent his Son. And as you listen to this first Christmas carol, as you hear the angels sing and you hear their voices ring and you hear the heavenly choir of angels sing redemption story, because God in Christ showed his goodwill into this world by sending his Son to pardon us and to set us free. This song confirms to us the goodwill of God, the good pleasure of God, because it was God's good pleasure to save sinners like you and me. He came to save. And Jesus Christ is the evidence of the goodwill of God towards man. He sent his Son, made under the law all the constraints and the demands of the law. Why? That we who were under the law might be set free. That our sin would be pardoned. That our sin would be forgiven. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. What a carol. What a song. But what a Savior. The angels, that night they sang because they had a message worth singing about. We've listened to these messages and song this evening. And I believe clearly in the providence of God. Joy, Andrew and Aaron have been directed of God to take us, yes, to Bethlehem, but then to take us to Calvary. Because Christ came from the heights of glory. He came into this world of sin and shame, to this earth. Why? That we might go from earth to heaven. And the only way that that is possible is through Jesus Christ. By coming in faith to the cross, to that place where Jesus died, to that place where there is forgiveness, where there is pardon, where there is mercy. Burdens are still lifted at Calvary tonight. Oh, this evening as we commence these special Christmas services, we rejoice. We thank God. We celebrate this evening that Christ came into this world. Joy has come. Joy has come into this earth, into the world that is wrecked and ruined by sin. In the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the goodwill of God. Oh, that tonight you might experience it for yourself. Oh, that tonight you might leave your sin and get to Christ. Oh, that tonight you might be ready. And oh, that tonight you might be saved. That even tonight, in your salvation, that your life would bring glory, praise, and honor to the Lord. Let's bow in prayer.